Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast for November 15th, 2024. I'm your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The CME Group Langer class action lawsuit with its members that has dragged on for 10 years is finally a court date, with no extensions possible according to the order setting the date for July 7, 2025. The order also says that if the judge in the case is not available, the case will be randomly assigned to another judge in the Cook County Law Division. SpiderRock Technology Solutions has launched the latest version of its trading platform, SpiderRock Connect, featuring a new options-focused alternative trading system, ATS, called SpiderRock ATS. This upgraded platform, used for U.S. and EU derivatives, includes M-Link, a WebSocket API for real-time data, enhanced workflow tools, and the SRSE API. SpiderRock ATS introduces flash auctions for price improvement and liquidity discovery in 100 milliseconds and block auctions for larger institutional trades. CFTC Chairman Rostam Benham is scheduled to deliver a keynote address and participate in a fireside chat at the Futures Industry Association's Futures and Options Expo on Tuesday, November 19, 2024, from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time at the Sheraton Grand Riverwalk. Also, Carolyn D. Pham will participate in a panel discussion, 24/7 Trading, Are We Ready? At the FIA Futures and Options Expo on Wednesday, November 20th at 2 p.m. Central Time. When Don Wilson was named to the FIA Hall of Fame, JLN's Sally Duros, who is focusing on our social media operations these days, shared the video from the MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity event Wilson presented at in 2014. That video is now the most popular video on the MarketsWiki Education YouTube channel over the last 28 days. The video by Wilson's DRW colleague Jeff Levoff is the next most popular video in the last 28 days. Other popular videos in the top 10 over the last 28 days are mostly of traders, including Michael Paddock of Top Step Trading, Haim Bodek of Decimus Capital Markets, Henry Schwartz of Trade Alert, Tom Sosnoff of Tasty Live, Peter Borish of the Quad Group, Ray Kahneman of Transmarket Group, Ethan Kahn of Wolverine Trading LLC, and Blair Hull of Hull Investments LLC. CME Group Chairman and CEO and new Hall of Fame inductee Terry Duffy appeared twice at the MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity program, once when it was held at the CBOE, and then at the Illinois Institute of Technology Stewart School of Business. You can see his videos with links in today's newsletter. Our MarketsWiki Education YouTube channel is separate from the John Lothian News YouTube channel. The MarketsWiki Education channel has 937 subscribers, and the John Lothian News channel is now up to 1,018. Thank you to all who are subscribed to our YouTube channels. David Prosperi has retired a second time. The first was from OCC when he took a package buyout offer. The second, after helping to transition the Kemper Lesnick team to Res Publica Group. He is now wondering if there is a third act for this experienced senior communications and public relations professional. If you need some wisdom and experience to help your PR and comms operation, he would be a good choice. The November 2024 episode of Boxes and Lines is titled, What's the AI Chunking Hallucinations and Connor Twomey's Take on What's Next. In observance of Thanksgiving, the New York Stock Exchange and its affiliated markets will be closed on Thursday, November 28, 2024. On Friday, November 29, 2024, these markets will operate on a shortened schedule, closing at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, with eligible options closing at 1:15 Eastern Time. Extended trading sessions for NYSE American Equities, NYSE Arca Equities, NYSE Chicago Equities, and NYSE National Equities will continue until 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Here are the headlines from in front of FOW's paywall from some recent stories. IOSCO publishes good practices report for voluntary carbon markets. Durbit hits open interest high as crypto markets surge. Analysis: U.S. Basel endgame risks divergent from rest of world. Nomura, Hong Kong exchange to launch new Chinese blue chip share index next week. And LME Clear launches consultation on market resilience proposals. Here are our most read stories from the previous edition of JLN Options. Growth of U.S. equity volumes and rise of retail from Cboe. Bet on 75 basis point ECB cut next month eyes tenfold payout from Bloomberg. U.S. ETF inflows hit $4.7 billion over 6 days as Bitcoin becomes seventh largest asset in the world from CoinDesk. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a sponsored content contribution from our friends at JPX. FIA Forum Tokyo 2024 held at JPX. Together with FIA and FIA Japan, successfully hosted the FIA Tokyo Forum on October 10th, 2024, at the Tokyo Stock Exchange. The event welcomed over 220 attendees representing more than 100 companies. The program opened with remarks from Mr. Nakaso, chairman of FinCity Tokyo, and Mr. Yakoyama, president and CEO of OSE. These introductions were followed by two engaging panel discussions and an insightful address from Mr. Ito, Commissioner of the Financial Services Agency. During the panel discussions, industry leaders from global exchanges and brokerages shared their perspectives on the Japanese market and their development plans. They also explored practical applications of OSE's recent innovations in the interest rates market, including newly launched 3-month Tona futures. Mr. Kazuhisa Kakazaki, Executive Officer of OSE Tokam, joined a panel to discuss JPX's product advancements. He highlighted developments such as the 3-month Tona futures, Tokam electricity futures, and the revival of the single stock options market. For further details, please refer to a link in today's newsletter. Here's a thought leadership piece from Certinova Financial. Client clearing, the direction of travel. A recently proposed Futures Industry Association European Trust Model, EATM, to facilitate client clearing in the European jurisdiction indicates the industry's desire to improve clearing brokers' profitability and facilitate access to clearing for derivatives end users. At the same time, Basel 3.1 changes, also known as Basel 4, and in the United States, Basel 3 endgame proposals, if implemented without amendments, will significantly increase costs of providing access to clearing both European banks and U.S.-based globally systemically important banks at G-SIBs, affiliated future commission merchants, FCMs. Although the U.S. final rules are yet to be finalized, the emerging picture suggests that clearing access is likely to become more expensive. Mid-tier banks and broker-dealers may benefit from accessing the central counterparty clearing houses, CCPs, directly, and in some cases from becoming FCM to compete with established G-SIBs, affiliated FCMs for client business. Here's part 3. of our video series this week, the legal mind behind futures industry landmarks, part 3. In the third segment of the John Lothian Profiles interview, veteran attorney William Nissen shared several more landmark cases that have significantly influenced commodities and futures law, including the key struggle of publishers of commodity trading advice to avoid registration. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Barron's and Steve Sears. The Trump administration will shake up options markets. How to profit. Donald Trump's re-election may profoundly affect what works in the stock and options markets, thematic trades on artificial intelligence and other innovations which have long contributed to stellar investment returns may be usurped by global investment themes. Wagers on countries and international trends are a harder specialty and require detailed knowledge and complex engines that power the world. A long America short China trade could emerge, for instance, if Trump's planned tariffs adversely impact China's economy and monetary policy and reshuffle the world order. My comment, we're going to have to come up with a new class of volatility, Trump vol. Here's another story. This is from the Wall Street Journal, a video via YouTube. The headline, why airplane loyalty programs are valued higher than airlines themselves, a Wall Street Journal case study. American Airlines created the first major airline loyalty program in 1981 as a way to compete for customers post-deregulation. But today, these programs are the industry norm, having transformed into billions of dollars of business with legs outside the aviation industry. The AA Advantage loyalty program has become a business in its own right, with airlines selling miles to banks, and was followed by similar programs with United, Delta, Southwest, and more. The Wall Street Journal breaks down how American Airlines created the program that changed the way the world flies. My comment, how to earn points and not have them count should be the title of a book about this. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, angry judge questions transparency of onion bid for InfoWars. A frustrated bankruptcy judge said he has concerns over the process in which satirical news site The Onion won an auction for right-wing provocateur Alex Jones' InfoWars website, saying he was dissatisfied with the transparency of the sale process. Judge Christopher M. Lopez said Thursday he would not hold a hearing next week to hear concerns and possibly approve the sale of the InfoWars assets to the satirical news website's owners. My comment. Judge says there's something smelly about The Onion winning the auction. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was Polymarket CEO's home is raided by FBI from CoinDesk. Second was the Wall Street Journal's take. FBI seizes Polymarket founder's phone in raid of home. Third was client clearing the direction of travel, a JLN guest post by Michael Poslikin. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times by Gillian Tett. The headline, how to trade in the Trump era, from Bitcoin to navigating the new president's Tudor court. Investors should bear the following in mind. Right now, global investors are grappling with at least two big surprises linked to Donald Trump. The first is the magnitude of his victory. Although many, including myself, expected him to win, few anticipated such a crushing victory or the extremist tone of his early appointments. The second surprise is the markets. Not only have American stock markets hit record highs, but other risk assets have also surged, with Bitcoin jumping to its own record high of $90,000. Can this continue? Financial history suggests it could. When the stock market rises immediately after the election, it tends to perform well over the next year, says Su Wonsong, an independent analyst. there are solid reasons to be optimistic. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The undercover hedge funds financing activist short sellers, when Wall Street's self-styled financial detectives allege malfeasance, these silent partners stand to reap the benefits. In January 2023, short seller Hindenburg Research put out a report claiming that executives at one of India's largest conglomerates were manipulating the company's stock price. The Adani Group and its multi-billionaire founder Gautam Adani strenuously deny the accusations, but the report instantly wiped off as much as $140 billion from the conglomerate's market value and sent ripples through the country's establishment. It also catapulted the New York-based Hindenburg and its founder Nathan Anderson into Wall Street lore. Few saw it coming, but one that did was a hedge fund in New York, almost 13,000 kilometers away from the Indian conglomerate's headquarters. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, the $55 billion customer exit rocking Franklin Templeton. The DOJ and other agencies are investigating trades by WAMCO's star hedge fund manager. The problems at storied bond manager Western Asset Management keep growing. Clients have pulled about $55 billion from WAMCO, as the division is known, since mid-August, representing about 15% of its assets. Franklin Templeton, its 77-year-old parent company and one of the largest asset managers in the U.S., recently reported its steepest quarterly outflows on record. The exodus was set in motion when Franklin announced that the Justice Department and Securities and Exchange Commission was investigating trades by WAMCO's star fund manager. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform upon which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.